Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis.
And Benjamin Harden. So today's podcast episode is sponsored by Fabletics Men. Of course, as you guys know, I've been with Fabletics for like the last year and a half now. And I usually work with brands I genuinely believe in. I'll be telling you a little bit more about the brand and the product a little bit later on the podcast. And in the podcast description and the YouTube channel, you will be able to find the links to shop Fabletics. But in today's episode, we have a very, very special guest. Some call him the Turkish sweetheart, the Turkish delight.
I think you're the only person who calls him the Turkish sweetheart.
Can you just let my man intro me? I was enjoying it. I know. Why are you butting in?
I was bringing the fire.
Yeah, he was hyping me up. I'm ready to go.
Mr. DK, Mr. Deer and Cartel, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, bruv. I'm thankful because you guys have asked me after how many years to be on your podcast. What's this, man?
What episode
are you on?
Well, this is season three.
Oh, do you do seasons? I don't get all that, you know.
Well, we only did season three because that's when we started the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Because it kind of made sense to be like, what was season two? I think it was just season two because, you know.
I think it was a new year and we're like, oh, do we do a new one every year? And then we started the YouTube channel and that's when we started season three, didn't we?
Okay. And you guys can just do episodes on your own, innit? Because you guys can just talk together.
That's the good thing.
That's the good thing, yeah.
Like with the YouTube channel, do you do podcasts on your own sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I just go off on one.
Yeah, we can just waffle.
Well, that's fine though, isn't it? If you've got stuff to talk about,
yeah,
it's not bad to do it on your own.
We can just put the cameras on and have a domestic, basically, can't we? And we can just record it.
Yeah, we do have some heavy debates. Just sometimes we have very different thought processes.
I like that. But that's good, though. That's what people want to hear.
That's what people want to hear, exactly.
Of course, because as long as you're being honest about that, because all opinions, everyone's got an opinion, innit?
And
everyone's
like arseholes, mate.
Exactly, bruv. Everyone's got one, so, yeah.
I think it's going to be one of the episodes again where we're going to be smiling a lot, so I'm going to crack another monster open. I'm absolutely stimmed off my cake, by the way, today.
How many of them have you got?
I think 600 milligrams of caffeine this is put in so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Suppressing them hunger, yeah?
Riding the wave, mate. Riding the wave.
I can't drink Monster, you know.
You get a shake.
I just don't like the fizziness.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's like I'd rather have a coffee.
Yeah, same. I'd rather do that.
You there
as well.
With your organic coffee.
Is it organic coffee, is it?
Yeah.
See, I prefer to have a decaf. I have a decaf because then I get the best of both.
Quick question. How can a coffee not be organic, though?
Wow.
Think about that. How the fuck is a coffee not organic anyway? That's mad, isn't it?
The coffee maybe beans. Maybe it's the way it's made.
Like, how is it processed?
It's all grown, though, isn't it? So.
Yeah, no, like coffee beans, but then, you know, the process of becoming into that organic cup. I can't imagine, like, Costa coffee to be, like, organic. I feel like that's... Maybe it's the way it's processed.
Possibly. You know what? It's a question for my sister because she does actually roast coffee.
Oh, I saw that on your story the other day.
I'll ask her, actually.
Yeah, ask her what makes organic coffee organic. Yeah. But it's like organic wine.
What's that? What's
what makes organic wine organic?
You know what it is? This is branding, fam. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Well, it's work because we're talking
about exactly.
Leon coffee.
We're part of the system. You'll
see next week if fucking Lucy put a post up organic hip thrusts.
Oi.
I'm telling you.
Oi.
No.
Organic hip thrust, yeah.
What even? That's not a thing.
But... I think it must have been three years ago now is what we met. I'm getting hot already.
You should have started with
I think we met about 2-3 years ago now, was it?
Yeah, I think in Manchester. It was
Smith's event.
Yeah. Was that the first time we met?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah, that was like three years ago. That was 2018, actually, when I got back from Australia and stuff, when we moved away.
Yeah, it was.
We were traveling. 2018. Mad. That's crazy, isn't it, when you think about
it? And then, not long after that, I actually went to Turkey to get my hair transplant. And I looked down, and you're like, we were looking for the hotel, weren't we? And you messaged me like, mate, my dad would come fucking pick you up.
Bruv, I told you.
Well, we were in Istanbul, weren't we?
Yeah, I said my dad would come pick you up, show you guys around. Because one thing you need to know about like Turks, and see that barrier? You'll probably thought, well, why is this guy even... offering that's so weird for him to offer his dad to come pick us up. But
I thought it was nicer.
Yeah, it's nice, but like a lot of people get shocked at that. They're thinking like, what the fuck does he want out of this? Not you guys, people do that. But like that culture, and you would have known when you were out there, is the hospitality is mad.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, so like anything anyone does, they over exceed, they over deliver with everything that they do, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, yeah, let me know. My dad's on holiday, he's got a car, he'll pick you up, he'll show you around, you know, just buy him lunch, he'll show you around, like whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of place. And Istanbul itself is fucking crazy. And the only reason, the main reason I wanted that is the way you would see it from a local, which is my dad, compared to how you would see it is a whole different level. Like the minute you even go somewhere to eat, the interaction my dad has with the people that work there, it changes the way people like talk to you, how they give you their service. Do you get what I mean? It yeah. makes such a difference.
Well, I mean, we just kind of stayed on the main street. Like the main street wherever we were, there was like flags. And we just walked for miles. But like, we didn't go off any like back alleys. We didn't get to see any of that because it was just me.
It was massive though, wasn't it?
You and we had to try and stay out of the sun because of Ben's little head. He just had his hair transplant done. So we had this big like cap on.
But see, it's mad because in Turkey, they wouldn't look at you like that's weird.
Yeah, no, because there was loads of loads people.
They wouldn't look at you like it's weird. Here, they'll look at you like, what's this dickhead wearing?
That's what it was like when I was in the Turkish airport. Everywhere, mate, everyone was walking around those bucket hats on because everyone had been for a hair transplant. As soon as I got back to the UK.
What are you doing?
Everyone's
walking
looking like
through Tesco.
But we got warned about that when we were going over because people were like, yo, if you're going to Turkey, watch out for your missus when you're walking around because people are like, touch your feet. Wasn't like that, was it? Mate, everyone was touching me. I was like, yo, Rambo.
Turkey's very like that. Turkey's much very like that. And with like the misses, it depends. The thing is, if you're going to a Muslim country, right? Now, the religion itself and the way they live in Turkey, and Turkey, keep in mind, is it's like the gateway for Europe and like the Middle East. So the people in Turkey are actually very modern compared to, say, if you went to fucking Saudi Arabia. Does any Saudi Arabians listen to this? I don't apologize because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the difference is, it's not that like they'll be like staring at her like, oh my fuck, you know, all this. It's more like
curiosity.
That, and it's different. If you're walking around, imagine you raised as a kid, and all you're seeing is women that are closed up. When you see the polar opposite with someone wearing tights where you can see every fucking angle of their figure, they're gonna be gobsmacked. You can't even blame them. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So hence why there's that line of, and I'm not trying to tell people they should change the way they are and all that shit, but the truth is, when you go to some countries, when you go to some places, if you don't want unwanted attention, you kind of have to do certain things to kind of fit in. You know what I mean? Not with your personality or character, but just, and the negative attention, you wouldn't have to deal with it. He would have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And then, because there's nothing worse than when you're walking and like 10 guys are like staring like animals, and then you're there like some, I'm not going to lie, bruv, I'll bite, bruv. And if I'm walking with, doesn't have to be like a girl that I'm seeing or whatever, anyone, like my sister, you, I'll feel protective over you. I'll be like, bro, what the fuck are you looking at, bruv?
It was like that woman in Barcelona, remember?
I can't remember.
I kicked off, that fellow was just staring like a fucking gawp.
Yeah, that was really weird though, because he was walking with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was like,
But Venice is like that as well, isn't it?
In Venice, actually, we were in a sports bra. And we just come back from the gym.
Yeah.
And we got told to, you know, put a top on and stuff. Yeah, so that's just culture, isn't it, in certain places.
But it's funny because my ex, when I was in Turkey, I took her to Turkey and years ago. This was like, it's 5 years ago or something like this. And she was like, this guy's staring at me. I'm like, fuck, you know. I'm like, all right, cool. Just don't stare back. Just don't look back. When you look back, my man thinks, I know what Turkish guys are like. Sometimes they're like, right, I'm in. I'm in. Hey, she's looking back. I'm in. She wants to get married. You know? So I was like, just don't look back. And then curiosity is like, you just look up, innit? And I'm like, oh my days, bro. I'm going to have to go to this table and slap this guy. So I had to just turn around and be like, yo, the fuck you looking at? In Turkish, they clocked I was Turkish and they were like, sorry, man. Yeah. I apologize, brother. Because as soon as they know it's a Turkish man, because they know how they would react.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's happened bare times when I've took like a European girl or whatever, I'm in Turkey and I'm wearing like a baseball cap or whatever. They think I'm American and they say something and I flip it. I'm like, yeah, really? I think she's hot too, you know? They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my days. The Yeah, it's happened
plenty of
times. Yeah. It's funny. I laugh about it. As long as it's not anything dirty, but I hear an old man saying some madness, he's gonna know what time it is. He's gonna know what time it is. They need to, because then it's just.
I think that's even more highlighted by the fact that what happened in the UK, like, was it this year or last year with the
this year?
The female who was taken killed, and then it's
really sad
about making females feel more comfortable out in social and public on the high street and stuff. So,
you know what? The thing is, right? It's fucked. It's fucked. It's fucked that so many females can't walk around being comfortable, can't walk around like that, and they should be able to, mm-hmm. right? But the thing is, what people need to realize is, and people can scream and shout as much as they want about these sort of topics. This shouldn't be the case. This shouldn't be the case. But there's animals out there. There's pigs. There's pricks. There's fucking dirty people that are psychotic, mate, that will do an absolute madness like what happened, right? And you have to be aware that people are like this. Hence why when people are traveling, when I'm traveling, I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to books, but I know I'm street smart. Mm-hmm. And when I'm out and about in different countries, I pick up on these things so much. And some people have no experience of this. So they go into these countries they've never been to, not assessing anything, anyone, the culture, where they're standing. Maybe the fact that they shouldn't be walking around at 11 p.m. in Indonesia on their own, you know? It shouldn't be the case, but the truth is you have to be aware of where you are and what you're doing to avoid these scenarios as much as possible. People are going to be like, this shouldn't be the case. Fucking feminists coming after me and all this shit. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? There's bad people and there's good people. And you've got to do what you can to avoid.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, for us, like me and you now, it's almost for us to try and do something to make females that feel more comfortable on the street to a certain point as well. And like, how can we do something to make them feel more comfortable? Because there is that minority who, I suppose, tarnish us and kind of shine a dark light on us. And I suppose that's up to us now to try and almost rectify that.
Yeah, I think help
that movement more so that females can feel comfortable on the street. Because obviously that's not down to me or to you. That's down to because there's a minority and there's pigs and there's dirty people. And one of them was, I'm sure he was a police officer as well, wasn't he? Mm.
Yeah, like, I think that was absolute. Yeah.
Like, you can't even feel safe with your own police force. Like, I don't think I'd ever feel...
Well, I got mugged and beaten up first year of uni by three guys.
Where was this?
Manchester. After warehouse projects, walking back on my own. So that's... I always take that as kind of like, you know, first year of uni, I walk back on my own, my fault. But I know I got followed and beaten up by three guys and mugged, and they only stopped because a car drove past. So, like, for me... I will never feel... can't really get over that.
No, I get you.
I can't... Even now, I can't go for a walk on my own.
Yeah,
I just don't do it. I think if you've had that bad experience, you're kind of going to feel a bit on edge and a bit uncomfortable. And yeah, like, you hold your keys between your hand and, you know, you don't walk with, like, music in so you can hear people around you. Like, I'm quite, like, jittery anyway.
Yeah.
So it's hard, though, because... I don't know how you get around it.
It's the whole, because there was a whole, after that happened, I know there was a big like conversation. I was in Australia, I think. Yeah, I was in Australia and it was kicking off at like, I'm pretty sure there was some people going like, men should be home by 8 p.m.
There was something crazy. 6 p.m.
Yeah, something mad. In my head, I was like, fucking, this is so fucking crazy. But like, what men and what people, what people have to do is when they see something, right, where someone is getting treated unfairly, where someone is getting treated with racism or whatever it is, you need to step up there and then and not start fucking tweeting about it and posting about it, right? This is the biggest problem. If I see someone getting treated unfairly outside, say, let's say a weaker individual that can't stand up for themselves, me as a person, from a person to a person, I would stand up and be like, yo, what's going on? People don't do this enough because they're scared of confrontation.
Yeah.
That is the biggest problem in society. They hate conflict. They're scared. They run away from it. Therefore, always live in like that fear bubble, right? So you got to be careful. And as a woman, when you're... that, what you experience is fucked. Like, it's fucked to whole different levels, you know? And obviously, like you said, it affects you when you're walking around and stuff, right? Mm. You're probably way more aware.
Yeah, I'm well aware. Like, someone's behind me, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I think today's society, people trust everyone. I don't trust anyone, I'm not going to lie. I feel like if you give someone an opportunity for something, I think they might take it. So therefore, I always have that in mind. Therefore, I'd never expect anything from anyone, so I can never get upset from it.
But is that due to your past experiences of why? Because I'm the opposite. I'll trust people until they lose my trust.
Nah, I think if you've had a few people around you where you've trusted...
That's what I mean, that's due to your past experiences, 100%.
Because the people say I was around or were around when I was a kid or whatever, are people that are struggling with money, struggling with whatever. Do you know what I mean? So therefore, it's like their brain, it's like opportunist. You know what I mean? If you leave a phone there, if I leave my phone right here, and I leave it there all day, one brother's going to take it. Do you know what I mean? There's someone's going to take it. They see the opportunity, they're going to take it. So I think it's important that we shouldn't give that opportunity. And this happens in big cities. If you're in a, if you're in my dad's village, for example, where there's 50 families on a mountain, they can't be doing that shit. They see each other every day.
Yeah, they know each other.
Hence why country people, village people, tend to be nicer and more like, you see him, morning, morning. Do you know what I mean? You probably get that in Richmond. You had that yesterday. Morning, hey.
Well, I said to you, I was like, the people are so lovely. I can't say something bad yet because everyone was like, hi.
Exactly.
Smiling.
Exactly.
Whereas if you walk through maybe like where I used to live at uni in Fallowfield, oh my God, I'm just, nobody hurt me.
Nobody come get her.
I think that depends where you are though as well, because it's, I was thinking about this the other day, all we passed that point of where, I don't know what it was like when you were a kid, where you just go and play out, like you'd leave door, front doors, gates open, piss around, do whatever in the in the front yard.
Not me, brother. Not in East London. Not in East London.
We were like that. You could do whatever, and I think that was nice. And I suppose that's why we just had that trust, because I suppose you're in a.
So I was like, imagine this. I was like, okay, I took my bike to the shop. I need to lock this before I go into the shop. I can't leave my door open. I remember that my house, on Prince Regent's Lane in East London, there was a bus stop in front of it. I would get so paranoid about the boys I would have trouble with in school or whatever that they would follow me. I'd wait for the buses to go past and then walk into my house. Do you know what I mean? So you're always on like, on it. So hence why when I'm living in Wandsworth now, like I'm like, this is like a whole different level. Yeah. And I'm at the minute I'm looking at houses where I can live in, possibly in Richmond or Fulham or whatever. It's so different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a bit more relaxed. And then when you go back to the end and when you're seeing family or whatever, you have to turn it up back a little bit. You have to be a little bit more like, yo, will you? Do you know what I mean?
So a bit of keys on chains.
Yeah. So it's just, you just got to balance it out right, you know, and just look. A lot of people are very, we're always focusing on different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether it's emails, posting on Instagram, what you did, what you're going to have. People usually when they walk, they're never really present in what's happening or observant. So therefore, when you ask people, did you see what, if there was an officer, like, did you see what happened? No, because you were too busy scrolling on Instagram, innit?
I did that the other day, mate. I went for a walk for 50 minutes. The full 50 minutes, I was just fucking like that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Full 50 minutes, mate. I get absorbed in that platform, you know.
Mate, TikTok's mad, you know.
So bad,
I really, really don't like that platform, but I use it. Because fucking opportunity. Generally, I actually don't enjoy the platform. We've had this conversation so many times.
I think it's quite funny, mate.
Why?
Why don't I like it?
Yeah, why? I want to know.
So I personally am someone who like prides themselves in producing content and educational content. I enjoy taking time, doing Instagram, doing YouTube, doing podcasts. With TikTok, I could literally film knocking that water over onto all that electrics and get like 3 million views.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah, cool, go global. But for me, I'm just like, I'd rather just spread like nice educational content. Even it might not be doing as well at the moment, but that's just my personal, I still use TikTok. I don't not use it.
Yeah.
But just my personal preference. I prefer to educate people in different ways, I think.
I think the audience of TikTok is still very quite young.
Oh yeah, about 12.
So therefore, that sort of stuff bangs.
Mm.
And TikTok is what Instagram was when Facebook, you know that line
where
it was Facebook and then Insta. And I think at some point, but I always thought that TikTok was going to be the next Insta, but I don't see it happening, you know.
I think it's better for
In terms of what way though, in terms of like, it's not going to be bigger or it's just not going to have as much of like an engaging audience.
Engaging, strong audience as well as bigger, because Facebook, with Instagram, they work together. Mm-hmm. They own it, right? Facebook owns Instagram. Yeah, exactly. TikTok is different competition.
Mm.
So they're going to do what they can to push for more people, more engagement, more this, more that. So hence why, I remember last lockdown, like on TikTok, I don't know, I've got like 35 or 40,000 followers or something on there. And I was just doing like dumb videos.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it's good for engagement. It's good for young kids, whatever it is. But I don't the whole use of the platform, I don't like the functionality of it personally. Yeah. I don't know.
They've done it because it's clever, because you all you do is scroll from video to video. It's not like on Instagram where you can click on different like aspects of the app. You can go to your profile, you can go to a feed, You scroll on TikTok and you just scroll through the algorithms of what they want you to see.
But I think that's good, mate.
It's clever.
You on Instagram, you can only discover people who you are following, really, unless you go on the search page, where that gives you a page of people like you don't follow, so you can see new people.
Yeah,
I quite like it as well, because just like a bit of a fuck around, because I quite enjoy sometimes like just not. Obviously, Instagram, we do post like a lot of educational stuff and some funny stuff. But like me and Cal go into the gym and we're just like, should we shoot something stupid on TikTok? Like the last couple of weeks, we've been shooting, Cal? Like we've been shooting stuff like stuff that should be illegal in the gym.
Oh, okay.
Mate, and they just bang all the time, like 500,000 views.
Really?
300,000
views.
And like we're doing it in 2 minutes, and I'm doing an Instagram video. It takes me like fucking half an hour to film,
I know.
An hour to edit, and I'm putting it up into the shit.
But I think it's also because we take Instagram too serious.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, we do massively.
Because
we have done for the past 3 years, and that's why it's like I can't let go.
Mate, you know what I realised? The other day, I did like a video that I would usually edit, like with my camera, edit whatever, put lots of thought process into it. I did one with just an iPhone on Reels.
Yeah, and it did way better.
It does way better.
Quick content at the moment's working.
Yeah, it's because, you know what? People don't have time to waste, man. And you know what? I'm like, it's true, like... Sometimes I'm making Insta TV videos. I'm like talking about 3 minutes about a topic. I'm thinking, fuck, you know, it got like 70,000-80,000 views. I'm thinking, mate, that's not bad. Imagine if I condensed that to 30 seconds or whatever. It would bang way more.
Yeah.
And doesn't waste anyone's time.
Yeah. This is the thing that I've noticed. Like my workout videos used to absolutely fucking bang. Like I'm still growing Instagram. Cool. Yeah. Reels, I get like 1 million, 500,000 views. And it's like... That was just 30 seconds. Like, but I don't mind doing that because I still put up like the educational content on a reel. Like I don't put the same amount of effort in as like a YouTube or like an Instagram workout. But I think the content on reels is still quite enjoyable if you can do it
this
well.
All comes down to your creativity of how you can fit it in 30 seconds, which is what most people lack in.
Yeah.
Because they overthink. They don't bring that inner child out of them, which is what most people never do. People take your job too serious, but relax your back. Yeah, like people are too serious. They're not relaxed, hence why they can't be themselves. Imagine if all your responses today were the same as your response as a kid. Imagine if we fully dropped our egos, because we all have an ego. Everyone's got a fucking ego. If you dropped your ego fully, how you would respond and what you would say, how you would act, who you would fucking follow back would be a complete different story. It would be a different story. It would be a better world. But the problem is people have an ego. We create an ego to like protect, I think, our actual identity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think when people can, and I feel like the more I get to know myself, I get better with my content because I'm being my full self. Hence why it's more engaging, because they're seeing, oh shit, this looks authentic because he's actually...
You're being more transparent. Yeah. That's what it is. It's transparency. And that's the thing that I used to be so scared about, you know, posting things that small say something or it'll upset people. Whereas like I get very frustrated with the fitness industry. I just do. I think it's pretty saturated and I see a lot of bullshit on there.
Yeah.
So when I do post these reels, they're just down the approach of, look, this is bullshit I saw this week on Instagram. I'll just put it into reel for you. And it's not like bashing people down. It's genuinely trying to educate people in a different way by saying, look, this is the shit. Like you see it all the time that I post, like stop following people who post thigh fat workouts or love handle workouts. It pisses me off. Don't do it. I used to be scared to post that in case someone said something, but I'm just not scared anymore. Cause like that's me being fully transparent about what I actually believe in.
Yeah. 100%. I do that all the time with like HIIT.
My days.
Like, I've got no problem with people doing HIIT training. I've got no problem with the influence that do HIIT training. Do your thing. It helps. I think, you know, when we all start fitness, there's that phase that you go through. I'm going to try low carb. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try just doing cardio to lose body fat. We've all been through that process, right? Where you come to realize that, oh, this isn't actually why I'm losing body fat, or this isn't actually what it should be, or whatever it is. Majority of general population are going through that phase now. Hence why the influencers that promote HIIT training and this, they bang so much because they see such a quick response. And that's fine. I love those influencers because it gives me an opportunity to blow their clients' minds when they start listening to me, because then they make sense with what I say. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once they go for it, and I think they do a good thing while getting them moving or whatever it is, but I think, like you said, if you speak your mind about what you actually think, it correlates with what you deliver. So I don't think there's ever going to be a problem. There's always going to be someone that's going to drop a negative comment, but they can go... What I've realized is when usually people judge people now or drop a negative comment, it's usually like a reflection of what they see in themselves. Mm. So I've kind of now, before I used to bite hard, and now I've been way more like chilled about it recently. I don't know why, but I've just, maybe I'm fucking grown up. I'm 29 now. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? But now I'm looking at it like that, unless some people need to hear it in an aggressive way, I guess. But now I'm just like, you know what? Why waste the energy? Why waste my energy on something like that? Because that person's, they don't get it now, but I think they will. And when they do, they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you know what I mean?
But whenever you're doing shit like that and putting that kind of thing out there, you're just like a mirror holding up to them and showing them what they haven't got or what they haven't done. So that's why they then hate that thing that's making them feel that way, which is probably why they'll give you the shit for it as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we notice that. But let's just touch on this morning's conversation.
What's that?
Which one was that?
Oh, have a fucking day off.
Yeah.
I messaged him. I was like, just to confirm, we're at 11. Yeah, just making sure, because I'm always like usually late and stuff. And he was like, yeah, we're just going to go have a quick session. I was like, have a fucking day off. Hear this.
By the way, whoa. He meditated this morning.
Okay. I've been for a walk.
Yeah. There's two methods of exercise. But, so you don't like mindset? Well, you class that as mindset stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're bettering yourself mentally. So if we look at like the workout that I've done this morning.
Okay, you say that's meditation to you, yeah?
Wait, listen. Because in that session, whether I trained or whether I didn't train, I'm not really going to get anything out of it in regards to my burn a couple of calories. I'm not going to get any bigger from it. I'm not going to get any stronger from it. I'm not going to lose any weight from one session. So whether I did or didn't train,
okay,
there's no real difference.
Yeah.
So what is the reason I've trained? Because like you did this morning with mindset-wise, that's like... my thing, it makes me feel good. It's like anchors my day. Like,
okay.
We were supposed to have a meeting on Wednesday and someone was trying to put in. I was like, nah, I'm training then. Like, okay. I'll put that over anything else because like it anchors my day and I feel like good. Like, if I hadn't done that this morning, coming to this podcast, it would have been maybe a little bit flat. Like,
yeah,
not really, but like, it makes me just feel like, all right, okay, I'm ready to fucking go.
I'm not going to lie. I was like that. But what I've realized is doing less is more, man. And the only reason I say that is like, I get what you're saying. And I used to say this, what you said to me this morning, were like, that's my meditation. And I was like, cool, I get you. But I think the productivity you could have had personally, and you can agree with this or not, or you might try it another time if you didn't, if you put your phone down, if you put the cameras down, if you went for a walk, say with Lucy, or on your own, just you being there, right? That's when I've got my best ideas. That's when I've like, took myself to a whole different level of the things that I can do. That's when my next sessions have been like 5 times better. And that's why I was like, have a day off. Because I reckon if you had a day off, and from what I heard, the gym was shit. It was frustrating gym session.
It was hot.
It was frustrating. I reckon you would have had a clearer mind if you came in without going into that gym and maybe spoke about at breakfast what your next move is. That's me personally. And the reason I wouldn't compare it to meditation is what I'm realizing and the things that I'm learning and the things that I'm applying now is like, my mind wanders so much. All day, it wanders so much. Like, all the fucking time. I struggled with it at school. I always got kicked out of my classes for that reason.
An annoying way, it wanders.
It wanders. I can't concentrate.
Yeah.
I can't, like, when the teacher would talk, I wouldn't understand a fucking thing. Like, I couldn't focus.
Yeah, brain fog.
Yeah, I would just sit there thinking, what the fuck is this she talking about? Do you know what I mean? Is that money coming in? And then what I'm practicing now and what I'm trying to do and what I've realized is actually helping me out is like, I'm focusing on just kind of dropping everything and whatever I'm doing, I'm like putting my full attention on that instead. Because when you're in the gym, you're adding a level of stress, right? You hitting the weights, stress on your muscles. You trying to figure out what equipment, where the equipment is in this new gym. It's added stress to your day. I think so. When you strip all of that back and learn to kind of do nothing and maximize your rest and focus, I've realized executing certain topics, even the way I'm speaking nowadays, is way more clearer. Sometimes I'm speaking and I'm like, where the fuck did you get this, Darren? It's like I've tapped into a part of my brain that I was kind of like ignoring. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that happened, like, especially after realizing that, okay, scrolling through Instagram is, you know what? I have to post today. Do I have to post? Is that my fucking ego telling me I have to post? Do I have to post because Lucy posted or Ben posted? Why the fuck does Darren have to post today? I don't have to fucking post. I just throw my phone. I'm just chilling now, you know? And then what I realize is, and I'm like, boom, I actually get an idea that's going to give so much more value than me posting something for the sake of posting. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm practicing that more. And to be fair, it kind of happened after I did mushrooms, innit?
Didn't you start in Australia?
Yeah, I did it in Australia.
You were with Lucy Lord quite a lot, sat on that rock.
Yeah, so this is something that I've always said I'll get into, because I've always been like, from my cultural background, it's quite spiritual, innit? People are very present with what they're doing. They don't have much, so they appreciate the simple things, like looking at a mountain. Like, legit,
yeah, yeah.
Like, just simply looking at a mountain, yeah? Or looking at animals, or just sitting there, enjoying the fresh air, whatever it is. I've been just trying to make something happen with my life for so long. Constant stress of what's
push,
next,
push,
what's
push,
next, push, all this. So when I was in Australia, and the time zones were completely different, where when I wanted something need to be done on the website and my developer is asleep, I can't have these conversations. It was frustrating at first. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to use this opportunity to kind of just chill for a couple months, couple weeks when I'm not touring, whatever it is. So I'll be like, cool, Lord, I'm going to come do meditate with you. It was so fucking hard. 10 minutes closing my eyes or just looking out into the ocean, like sitting still. I'm thinking about emails and this and shit, inbox and all this shit. And it was so difficult. And then once you practice it more and more and more, you realize the depth that you can get to in your mind or the back of your mind. And the only reason I got to that depth is, honestly, it was, I'm not trying to promote anyone to do psychedelics or anything like that.
So what Darren's now saying, by the way, is fuck Ben's, press off and go and do mushrooms.
I'm not going to lie to you, it's the cheapest therapy ever. I did that and it tapped into a part of my brain where I could get to when I meditate. That I clocked. When I did that and I was like, my focus was on, because everything's in high end, right? So I was like closing my eyes and my listening to Hans Zimmer and my brain was going to different dimensions and thoughts. It was everything that I was thinking at a different level. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the depth I can go to if I'm meditating. I was like, okay, this is why people kind of lock off everything and just try and meditate. They try to get to that depth. When I saw that depth, I was like, okay, cool, I get it. So when I'm meditating now, that's what I'm working towards and that's what I'm reaching towards, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that depth was like, that consciousness to me was like, I was like, everything matters, but it fucking doesn't. Nothing matters. This podcast doesn't matter, but it does matter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
like
you.
Whatever you're going, whatever problem that you have, you think is important. It's not, because you're so small. Your problem is like this small to what you actually think it is. And you're the only person that makes it a big deal. So that's why it was like, to me, it was like, why am I worried about this? Why am I worried about followers or blue ticks or this? It's not important. This moment I'm doing what I'm doing right now and just chilling here, looking at the fucking ocean on a rock, yeah, and going, raw, this is mad. Like, planet Earth is actually crazy. Mm. And I don't think enough of us observe that or take advantage of it. Hence why I'm looking at places like in Richmond and stuff, because I want to be in the green more. I want to see a bit more country. I bought a car so I can drive out of London and I can drive off to places, you know? So I'm enjoying that part of my growth now. And to be honest, I'm really enjoying it. Like, it's cool.
With that meditation, are you finding it as easy to do sat in your room in London in comparison to Australia? Or was that a bit of a hard thing to get used to?
It was harder because in Australia there was less distractions, especially when you're that sunrise, looking out into the sea and stuff. Like, it's different. Yeah. But when I close my eyes, I can create that vision. And so when I lose my focus and my mind wanders, I think about that moment of time that brings me kind of like more peaceful mind. So I think about that and it just brings me back in. Because even when I shut my eyes, And again, I ain't no expert at this, right? But I know I'm a good coach, and I know certain things and certain coaching cues and certain aspects that I can relate to myself with this sort of stuff. So when I'm practicing this, I'm not an expert. I'm practicing meditation. You practice something to get better at. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just practicing it. So it's hard at times, but as I'm practicing it, I'm getting better with kind of not thinking about anything. It's a nice feeling, I'm not going to lie.
It's really hard though, because I've tried many a times, haven't I, to meditate.
I could only do it when I was going through therapy and doing CBT. I can't do it myself. Like, I needed someone to guide me through it when I was doing it, because when I was doing it myself, I just fucking wonder about all sorts. So when I had like that therapist there doing shit with me, I could do it because she was guiding me through it. Like, I had a professional who was there talking me through the steps of like trying to get deeper with it, and it was good when it got to that point.
Yeah, bruv, I'm not gonna lie, bruv. There's been a point where I was meditating, I was dropping tears, and I was like, what the fuck am I crying about, bruv? I'm like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, you know what this is? It's me being more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And not enough people are being vulnerable. You know what I mean? And the only reason I'm speaking about it...
I wasn't farting about it.
Right, it's all right. When I said be vulnerable, not that far. So that's why, like, when I'm speaking about it and I'm doing it, is I'm doing it because I know a lot of people have hit me up about it. And I'm doing it on the Insta Lives because people are like, raw, man, like, Dylan from East London is meditating on a rock. So it's kind of a shock. And the reason I'm doing it is because I think I'm, no offense to all those crazy hippies that don't shave their armpits and live in Bali, I'm more relatable to these people. Do you know what I mean? So I'm doing it to be like, yeah, you can do it as well. And what I've realized is it's helped me so much with what I'm doing now. Like, such a clearer mind. Like,
clarity.
Oh, mate, so much. So much. It's mad. So much. And keep practicing it. Try it. And you know what? When you tap into that, again, I'm not saying do psychedelics or none of that shit, but I've never met anyone that's... Keep in mind, I've never done drugs, I've never touched cocaine, I've never done any of that in my life, yeah? Because I've always thought that as a party drug, whatever it is, it's always a hype thing. But this, when I did this, it was the most spiritual thing that I've ever done. I've tapped into like a different sort of feeling and clarity, so much clarity from it. It was mad.
Is that illegal?
Yeah, very illegal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't speak to Lucy Davis about illegal and shit, because her head goes west if she's got to drink a fucking monster or something like that. You're the biggest pazzer in the world about anything, aren't you?
I was just curious. Well, the only time I can think of where someone's taken mushrooms is on Bridget Jones, but they're in Thailand.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's illegal there.
It's not, but it's not. Nothing's illegal in Thailand. That, Amsterdam, like wherever, there's so many places.
You can smoke weed in Amsterdam, can't you?
Yeah, that as well. But like, you got to be like, when, the only reason I say this is like, the person I did it with, the people I was with, they're like shamans in it. Like, that sort of like, that really hippie sort of, do you know what I mean? But,
yeah,
I'm comfortable with that because I get why they're like that. But I think some can take things too far where they're no longer relatable to people. If you want to help people, you need to be able to be relatable to them.
Yeah.
Simple as that, you know? And if you can't relate to someone, then, and you're trying to coach them or trying to inspire them, it's not going to work. You know? So luckily, I'm like, when they were doing like weird shit, I look at it and I'm like, I get why you're doing it. That's not me. I get why you're doing it, but I also get why people wouldn't listen to you, because
yeah.
No one ain't gonna listen to you.
It goes
like that,
one step too far sometimes.
It's too far for people to acknowledge.
It's like that with anything though, like veganism, feminism, anti-diet culture. Like, when you take things past that point of where there's relatability there and where people can start to latch onto that, it makes it very hard because they're so far apart. Those two.
Exactly.
It's too extreme.
So that's why I'm like, get ready for this space here. I'm going to make meditation cool, bro. So that's why I'm doing it for myself, but I've realized it's kind of helping people. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to practice it, but I don't go around talking like, but I'll be doing a silent retreat in Bali soon. Yeah. Me shutting my eyes, just chilling like, namaste, motherfuckers.
So I'm just going to interrupt this podcast here to tell you about the sponsor of this episode's podcast, which is Fablex, man. When we kicked off the podcast, you probably saw the green jacket I had on. Darren actually said to me at the start of the podcast when we met up and we thought it was Mo Farah, he had to do a double take. But the full outfit that I've had on today, the green jacket and the green shorts, are the new Fablex Men Kevin Hart collection. They do come in normal sizes, not just Kevin sizes. These are all out now on the Fablex website. I will leave the link in the description of the YouTube and the podcast channel. If you join up to the VIP membership, it runs a little bit like the MCS on a subscription basis. So you'll pay just under £50 a month for the subscription, and you can move that on month to month. You can pause a month, so you don't have to use it, but you will get an outfit per week. Sorry, per month based off that VIP membership, which will also give you between 30 to 70% off all of the Fabletic menswear. Again, I will leave the link in the description of the podcast and the YouTube video to check out the sponsor of this week's episode, which is Fabletic Men. And don't forget, when you go through to that page, when you fill in the quiz, please smash my name at My Coach Benji, because it just helps me out. Winding that back,
yeah.
We were speaking just before about routine and like how you kind of like you, that's what you missed when you were in Australia.
Yeah.
So how you found that being back here? Because that's like the other point I was getting on to. Like for me, like no matter what, I'm training like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rest day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday rest day. So for me, like no matter where I go, that staple routine is always there for me. Like I said, it's just like an anchor point of my day. So it doesn't matter where I go, I'm getting my shit done, I'm doing it. And I'm carrying on, because if I don't, if my day just feels off, because I'm so used to doing that. So just that's for me, it helps me start the day, helps me keep in routine, helps me keep the flow for the day, and I move forward with what other shit I've got on.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, you need to keep that routine. The only thing is, you can't keep that routine when you're on tour. It's so hard.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
Because like,
that's what throws your head off then, doesn't it?
Exactly. It throws your head off, but you also gain in other aspects.
Yeah, you've got to adapt, yeah.
You've got to adapt. But coming back from that, is great to be in my routine I have at home. But I've also outgrown myself since I've left. Therefore, in my space, I'm not happy right now in London. Hence
why do you think you've outgrown? What's made you feel that
you
way?
Travel, you learn, you talk to people, you listen, you know, you interact. One of the best ways that I've learned is always being surrounding myself with like good people, people that I can learn from.
Yeah.
From coaching to business to just people, whatever it is. It's a skill I've learned from my dad. My dad's never been shy to say anything to anyone, that he would always speak about whatever topic it is. He'll speak his mind, he'll say what he thinks, but he'll respect that person's opinion, whatever it is. So I've kind of applied that with what I do. And since, like, you're touring Australia, like, with your best mate, you're speaking on a stage for like 15, 20 minutes on your own on stage in front of 1,100 people, like, you can't not grow.
Confidence. Yeah.
You know what I mean? From confidence to the people you meet, the things you can accomplish, the things you do accomplish, and you start talking about, it's like knowing what to do. When you know what to do, you're confident, but it's a whole different story when you do it. You know what I mean? The level of, hence why IFS, when it first happened, business talks, when it's first happened, they're like, why won't you talk? Do you know you can talk about this topic? I said, I can talk about this topic and I know what you need to do, but I'm not talking about it until I do it.
Yeah.
Like business coaches. If you're a business coach and you earn 10K a year online, yeah, don't call yourself a business coach, please.
But that's that thing.
It drives me mental.
I think people
yeah,
literally.
Do
you know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
I'm a business coach. I'm like, I'll help you guys out. No, you're not. You're like 23 years old living in mum's house. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't do that, man. So hence why I wanted to experience certain things, accomplish certain things before I turn around and say, with chest, I can help you, young driller. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things where I feel like I'm constantly growing. And when I go to like a next chapter or experience something where I've gone, fucking hell, dear, did that just happen? I can't go back to that same space. I need to...
Yeah, that makes more sense.
You need to, like, as cringe as this sound, like with the whole, you know, the fish in the bowl and all that, you know, the... What's the analogy sign? Where the fish stays that small with the...
Yeah, I'm onto it, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
What's the... There's a
big
quote.
Fish little fish cardboard box now.
No. It's like, you only... Sometimes you have to be forced by other people or put yourself in an environment with fucking sharks to grow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good analogy.
So when you go back to a zone where it feels like, not like you're going backwards, but like, did that, completed it,
you're just
next
stationary
chapter. Exactly.
Just not,
but that happens to footballers. Like, you have footballers who are like big fish in little ponds.
Exactly.
And then like when they go to another club, although they're not the biggest fish, they develop because they're around better coaches, better players.
Yeah. Be like, you now you got a videographer with you. You didn't have that 2 years ago, no?
No.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's like you need to level up. And you have to pay him now. You have to work to pay him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that pressure that makes you go, so you can't go back.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that was one of those things I was like, nah, I need a bigger house.
Yeah.
I need two rooms. I want somewhere where my mum can go. I want a studio in my house. Mm. I need to push.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going backwards, you know? So, and it's scary and risky, but if it's not, then where's the fun?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, people get those mixed up though with action and confidence. People believe that you need to have the confidence to take action, but people don't realize by taking the action you gain that confidence along the way. And I think that's the biggest, that's the reason why people don't take action, people don't do shit, it's because they don't do that first. Why am I quiet, am I?
Yeah, I think you're way back here. I think you need to be here. Wow, my head's been like this like the whole time.
I like the way you saw that in that camera, yeah?
I was trying to do it subtle. So I'm cutting him in.
I'm forcing his head in.
That's me, mate, under there all the time.
Yeah.
Sorry, team.
But like what you were saying is, I think, yeah, you're right. People don't realise that. Like every time like I've toured with Smith, right? Me and him at the back, we spend the whole day together, but we don't talk to each other. We're excited, but there's butterflies.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
You're speaking in front of a lot of people, right? And I'm nervous before I step on stage. I'm excited. I want to get on. People are like, are you nervous? I'm like, kind of. But like, I'm never doubting myself that mm-hmm. I'm not going on stage. I'm going to go on. Whatever I feel, I'm going on. And that fear, that excitement tells you, this is the right move to mm-hmm. make, you know? So when you do that move, when you do that, it's like, bruh, okay. Then the confidence peaks from each experience that you have. And like you said, people don't take action enough. And guess what? You're going to flop. You're going to flop a lot of times. You know what I mean? You're not going to be confident with whatever you do first time. But you actually need to remove that feeling, remove that mindset of, not you need to fail, basically. You need to flop.
But you never actually failing, though, if you're always learning. Like, you just not, because you're always self-improving and moving forward from it. But like what you said there, when we did, was it IFS last year? No, it wasn't last year, was it? It was 2 years ago.
It's mad,
it's mad, because last year it was cancelled.
Yeah.
Before we went on, I was twatted, wasn't I, before we went on for IFS, mate, because I was so nervous, like butterflies in my stomach, shit myself. I was like, I had a couple of drinks, and obviously Paul Moore was sitting next to me going, yes, have another fish bowl of gin.
By the time we
got on, mate, I was crawling on
stage. She was saying, give me daggers like that.
But I was
used to it because I'd literally just come out of uni. Part of my degree, you had to public speak. You got graded. And I'm quite loud anyway. Like, it was always sound for me. I could quite easily do it. So I literally straight away did IFS. He's not public spoke for like 7 years. So he was hammered. But because I'd just done it.
You're fresh.
I was fresh. I remembered. I felt confident. I was like, I know what I'm talking about. If I didn't know what I was talking about, I wouldn't be doing a talk. But
I'm going to say something, you're going to love it. Go on, carry on.
No, that was my point. That was my point. Like, I felt confident talking about our business, talking about when I did a glute seminar, because I know my shit, I know what I'm talking about. If I didn't, I wouldn't want to be up there.
Yeah. So me and Smith, when we're driving up to Brisbane for the first show, like, we did like a little coastal thing. We had our gap year. when we were driving up the coast, we were talking about the topics we're going to talk and all that stuff. Keep in mind, it's been over a year since we've both spoke on stage, you know? But you're doing other things like podcasts and all this stuff. Yeah. And we're kind of not practicing, but topics, going over topics. And Smith's a very good speaker. He's a very good speaker because he's been doing it for years, you know? The first time he did it when I was there, nothing like what he is like now. Same as me, you know? And one thing you learn is take your fucking time on stage. Take those pauses. I've been doing that so much more, and it's stepped things up to another level. Like, you go on, you talk, pause, chill, look around, it's calm. The biggest mistake what people do is when they go on and they speak, like, everything comes out straight away.
Yeah.
And I've been there, I've done that, you know, and I get that. You know what I'm trying to say?
Do you know what I was going to say? If you found that when you first started your podcast, you feel like you constantly had to keep conversation going. I could stare at you for like 10 seconds and not say anything and be really chilled about it in
he
a
might
podcast.
Get upset.
Why are you staring at the man for 10 seconds?
Do you know what I mean though?
Do it
where
now.
It's just like,
I
could be on like, we did a podcast with Ethan Suplee, the guy who's in Wolf of Wall Street, and My Name is Elle.
I was nervous that one.
I was nervous. But I got to that stage where I could just like, he asked me a question, I'm just sitting there for 10 seconds like,
you're thinking.
Thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't want to rush my response. Yes. and Joe Rogan with Elon Musk. Oh. If you've heard those podcasts, he doesn't speak for about 3 minutes.
This is why
he just sits there for 3 minutes.
Elon Musk, every time, I love that guy. He's a weird guy. Same. But he just like he just thinks before he talks.
And I love that.
Yes.
And
so
I'm learning to do that because it's important.
Exactly. So important. And then one thing me and Smith kept, because we pump each other up, it's so good to have like your best mate and be able to do and experience all these things with. Do you know what I mean? It just makes things. I'm very lucky. He's very lucky. We both know, and it's sick. So one thing we'll tell each other will be like, it's mad because every idea that we've had to that we're talking about, it's already in here. Mm. You're the one that already wrote it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the one that said you're going to speak about that. So there's nothing to worry about. You've done something to be here. Mm. So you just got to fucking embrace that and just say whatever you're saying with chest. Even if it's wrong, if you do something wrong, whatever. You know what I mean? You just carry on, you know? So that's one thing I've learned. Even like after that, I'm so confident with having my own show now in London.
Congrats.
Yeah, but
that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm buzzing. Fucking sold out in 24 hours. What are
you saying? When's the Manchester one as well?
Good question.
It's not confirmed.
We'll come into that one.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah, I know you're coming. But like, if I did that 2 years ago, it wouldn't have been the right time because. I didn't have my podcast. I wasn't comfortable speaking. I could have done it. I would have sold tickets. But timing is important. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So all the things I've done with Smith, all the podcasts, all the conversations, every time I've been asked to do a Q&A or jump on another podcast, whatever it is, it's all training for a moment that you don't even know that's coming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's why like people shouldn't rush with what they're doing. Be patient. And then whatever happens... happens, innit? It is what it is.
Well, that's kind of been like with our app at the moment. It was supposed to be released in March. It's not. It's releasing in June. Shit happens.
Exactly,
like building an app is a hell of a lot of work than when you're building it from scratch. So, we probably could have launched it like a year and a half ago. We didn't want to. We knew in a year's time, hold off a bit, we can do it better. We can get a better approach. We can spend more money on it and we can do it in a different way. Like at the start when they were like, no, it's definitely not going to be released in March. We were like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like we've literally told everyone.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, it's June. It's June.
Mate, it's hard. I know the app thing. It flopped. They built me an app, innit? And it flopped. Mm. At the time, I thought it was the worst thing, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I learned so much from it. It was fucking crazy. And I think...
That was around near IFS, wasn't it?
It was after IFS.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, you know, this is the worst business decision I've ever made. And by doing that, it worked out so, like, well. At that point, people were like, I had 100,000 followers on Instagram. People thought I was killing it. I had £1,000 in my bank account, mate. I was like, my head was gone at one point. I wasn't showing that. Never show weakness, bruv. I wasn't showing it. No one knew about it. I was doing fine, but I was trying to figure out the next step. I was failing. I flopped. This flopped. You keep trying. And then something has to hit. Something has to work.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I think people forget that. There's like, if you look at things like, okay, there's no opportunity other than it working. No matter how many times you fail, whatever it is, even fat loss, building muscle, it's all the same. You do a diet, it don't work. You do something for 4 weeks, it flops. You go again. Do you know what I mean? Something will eventually work. And I think the more and quicker people realize that, the more they can succeed with like whatever they're doing, you know?
Yeah. Do you know what takes longer though? If you quit, because you go do it again.
Yeah.
And that's why people fail with fat loss and shit as well, because they quit and then they start again.
That's right.
And that's what takes longer. But that's what I can't remember what the stat is of like how many businesses survive after like 1 year to 3 years. I'm sure after like 3 years, like 20%, is it?
With personal trainers, I think it's like 80% or something. Something ridiculous.
So 80% succeed or 80% fail?
No, self-employed personal trainers failing really high.
80%?
Something stupid. I remember this was said to me when I was in Fitness First like 5-6 years ago. It could be different now. Don't quote me on that. But I know it's very high. Let's be honest. How many PTs do you know that go, I'm a personal trainer. I did a 6-week fucking course. But it's not really working out. Of course it's not working out because all you thought was £50 an hour, you dickhead.
Yeah.
And now, do you know what I mean?
You don't get, obviously, on that note as well, you don't get fucking taught a lot on those courses. But you, if you look at those stats and... you position yourself as one of those people who will continue to push through the shit and through the shit. At least there's not many people who are making it. And if you keep throwing that shit against the wall, something's going to stick.
Yeah.
And you will make it. Although you'll have like a lot of those hard times. And we've had loads through the past year or so, haven't we? Even like that day when we were Harry's event last year. I remember I was on the phone for fucking 3 hours sitting on the side of the
you
track.
My
head,
head
was gone.
You were stressed. Like, just cause I know.
Stuff with business was just shit. And again, like from that weekend, we learned stuff for upcoming projects that we had. And it's kind of bettered us for that point rather than just succeeding straight away. We would have never learned anything.
You need that. But so hence why, like, one of the reasons, like, I try to do meditation now. Like, now I'm just like, you know what? I can't really solve that problem right now. I'll think about it and I'll get back to you in a day. Because whatever's happened, you can't. Overstressing about it doesn't do anything.
Makes it worse.
Makes it so much worse. So now I'm like, you know what? Cool. I have these conversations with my developer. We talk about something. But, all right, cool. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Sleep on it. I'm like, okay, cool. Then yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You try it. Should we try it? Yeah, we'll try it. What's going to happen? Might flop. We learn from it. Do you know what I mean? And I think, but to get to that, it takes an element of that stress. Mm-hmm. To realise you don't do nothing.
I don't think people realise. I think personal training is amazing. Like, it's the best job ever, like running a business, doing all that. I don't think people realise how hard it is to go past kind of like that first year and like build yourself online as well with like online coaching. And because obviously personal training on the gym floor is also great, but you will hit like capacity and you will hit a wall, and then it's like, okay, but where do I go after that? Am I willing to learn about business? Am I willing to read a research paper every day? Like, what are you willing to do? I think that's obviously up there with why that figure, 80%, would...
I'll give anyone that's listening an example. How many followers do you have?
550K-ish.
How hard is it to get someone to pay you? Like, honestly. Like, how hard is it to get someone across the line to be like, join my program, I swear I can help you. Yeah. People think you have followers and go...
Instant conversion.
Oh yeah, they got fucking 30% of their following is their clients. Yeah. Mate, 30% of their following were their clients.
If 30% of my following were clients, I'd be...
You wouldn't be talking to me. I'd
be living in Barbados on a yacht.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So people think that's how people make calculations. Like, some people said to me, that asked me how many clients I got. I answered it. They do the maths with how much it costs. They're like, rah. I'm like, bro, if you heard the corporation tax,
mate, literally.
I swear I nearly dropped a tear the other day. I was like, rah, I fell off my chair. I was like, what? Swear, okay. You know, people don't realize that the wages, the this, paying yourself, fucking tax on yourself, on your business, on this, on that. And these are all things that I am learning, right? And it's like, It's mad because people never calculate this. And even there would have been a time when you guys were younger, when you were looking up to whoever in the fitness industry, that we might have done that calculation too. Yeah. Never thought about the things that you're thinking about now, right? Mm-hmm. So you thought, oh, what? 10,000 clients? Yeah, okay. Oh, shit, he's killing it. Yeah. But man can have so many expenses, maybe making $2,000 a month. Like, you don't know. Do you know what I mean? So it's all of those, like...
It's business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, marketing, paying for marketing, PR, brand, Facebook ads, hello.
I know, yeah.
So it's all these things that, maybe you start like as a personal trainer and you want to develop, there's going to be a lot more expensive than just paying your, is it like a fee at a gym? You pay the rent at a gym?
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it than that.
Oh, mate, it's mad. But I love it.
Yeah, there's so much fun. It's exciting. We get to do shit like this as well, which is obviously like, you know, it's incredible. It's great.
It's fun,
I fucking
isn't it?
Love it, yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
I think the person that puts that into perspective very well was when Paul was speaking at IFS. Because he doesn't have loads
Paul
of followers, but he has fucking till.
Paul Moore is a G, bro.
Yeah, he's great. He's the one who kind of puts that into perspective. Like, it's not all about followers, because he didn't come from a place where he had loads of followers, but he's done so well throughout his career in regards to financially, business-wise, as a mentor to all of us as well. Like, we've all done Paul's.
Yeah, everyone.
Paul's course, and he's become a good friend as well. So he's kind of like the pinnacle of that. If you're going to look at how social media is and all... Like, there's some people on Instagram who have millions of followers, by the way, who are fucking piss poor.
Bro, I know. It's mad.
Yeah, people don't put two and two together, do they? They could look at someone with like 2 million and think, oh my God, they must be a millionaire.
Someone said to me the other day, like, yeah, obviously getting flown out to Dubai and... for that, and I'm like, yeah, swear down. I said, mad, because I can pay for my own flight. You know, so when they hear that, they're like, okay, shit, okay. Do you know what I mean? So I think people think free stuff is like cool. It's not. Having the power of making your own decisions with your own money, with whatever mistakes you make, and is so much more empowering, which is why I initially never gave into ads, because I was like, no, Darren, stick to, and there's nothing wrong with doing ads, but it's just, it's not in me to be that person. So I didn't want to do that. So I was like, no, just hold fire. And we even calculated with my manager, if I took on all the ads that I did, that I got offered every week, that emails coming through, he was like, mate, you would have made at least like 150, 200K on just fucking ads. And I'm thinking, what? That's mental. Mad. But the mad thing is, I don't care about it. I don't have no enjoyment from that. I enjoy coaching.
But also, you are a coach and a person of influence. You don't need to rely on ads. You're not just an influencer. You don't need to rely on ads to make your money. Yeah. You have a business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've had this conversation like with my best friend Lowe's, talking about it's more of like a side thing.
Yeah.
It's not like you only have to rely on that. It's just, on the side.
That's what you do with Gymshark and whatever it is. That's like, that's for the car. That's for dinners, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just little, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I do that with when we're doing like events, merchandise, whatever it is. That's how I see it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep pushing my own branding, because I think one day in 10 years time, I think it's going to be better for me, you know? So as long as it works for you, it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah.
But like, if you are an influencer and listening to this, don't rely on other people to pay you. There's nothing more amazing feeling than you transferring your own money to yourself. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, paying yourself your own wage. There's nothing more powerful than that. I think that power is cool, not having to rely on anyone to pay you. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing worse than being like, yo, boss man, you forgot to pay me this month.
I think it depends on that though, because you see some influencers who have built up that following. So playing devil's advocate, why shouldn't they monetize that, and why shouldn't they earn something from it as well? As long as it's like, for me, as long as they're not pushing bullshit, as long as they're not causing any harm to anyone, as long as it's coming in good faith and something that they believe in.
Yeah.
And they, for example, I wanted to kind of touch on this.
Yeah.
Because I know you did a podcast with Charlotte, was it, from Geordie Shore?
Yeah.
Because she was pushing something. But I think from what I picked
up...
Holly. I think from what I picked up from that, I don't think she was really educated in what it was. Whereas we get some people who fucking know what they're pushing, they're educated in what the product does, they know what it is, they know it's bullshit, but they peddle it anyway.
Yeah.
And you get people like Holly, who I think wasn't really educated in what the product was.
She was at 18, and bro, she'd never clue. She was just thinking, money I gotta pay for.
Yeah.
Mum and dad's, whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I get that. But even like when people are doing ads like personal trainers now, like, cool, you can do it. But I think like if you two were just doing ads and you didn't have a coaching, I'll be like, stop being lazy, bruv. You need to do your... Do you know what I mean? Because you're at the end of the day, like, what the fuck's going to happen when they drop you? What's going to happen when they...
Yeah, the security.
Yeah, do the hard work for yourself now so you don't have to rely on that.
Because
then when you rock up to those people, when people hit... If people hit me up right now, be like, Darren, we want to do this with you or with James, like, to our manager... He'll be like, cool. I can go be like, well, this is what I want to do. They're like, well, no, we can't do that. I'm like, cool, no problem. See you later. That, and they look at you like, bro, okay. You obviously don't need that extra whatever it is they want to give you for that month. Because you don't. Because you really don't need much. And influencers think you need a lot of money to get by. You need money to flash this and that, whatever. But they think they need money for things that they do not need to impress people that don't even like them. Do you know what I mean?
Or people who don't even know them.
They don't know them, yeah. They don't know them at all, you know? And I think the hardest thing is, hence why, like, I had the opportunity to go on Love Island, didn't it, like 2 years ago. I said no.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying.
Yeah, I said no. I didn't want to be that person. Do you know what I mean? So, like, if I didn't, I know I would have killed it, bro. It would have been like, hey, do you mind if I chat to your, what they do? They partner up.
Coupled up.
Do you mind if I chat to, like, say, Sarah? I'd be like, yeah, I do fucking mind. You can't chat to her. That would have been good TV. Yeah, fuck off, bro. You ain't chatting to her. But, like, I just didn't want to, I think you shouldn't, never avoid the hard work. That's what I
think. Yeah, 100%. I think, never avoid the hard work. The thing that we've done in the past, I'd say we've only ever worked with brands on like long-term basis, so we have like partnerships, don't we? Like you have Gymshark, I have Fabletics, who we just spoke about on the podcast before. I've been working with like a year and a half, 2 years. I was with USM for like two or three years. So we've always worked with brands, and it's not, obviously you're getting paid by people, but you've got to believe in something.
Correlates
more
with
than
what
that.
You do.
It needs to fit in like a jigsaw, like with what you're doing, because if something doesn't feel right or something doesn't feel organic, it looks fake and shitty, and like you're pushing it for the wrong type of reasons.
If Nike came at me, I'd be like, cool.
I was checking you, I didn't have Adidas on.
No, never. Everything's always matching.
As in, you'd be like, cool, yeah, sponsor me.
I'll be like, cool, let's do something cool, though. Let's not just, if we're doing something, or if Apple, I don't know, a brand that I absolutely love came at me, I'd be like, cool, let's do something sick, though. Let's do something that's going to blow people's mind. Do you know what I mean?
Or if
it was like a TV ad doing, hey, we want you for, I don't know, Turkish Airlines advert, I'd be like, yeah, I'll definitely do that. That's sick.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to... I want to just keep giving value to people that like follow. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to make them feel like they're just a number. That's why I don't do it. You know what I mean? But with you guys, you're doing what you're, like when you're doing Gymsharks or whatever, you're posting it with workouts and stuff. With value. You're
like,
giving them a workout.
Yeah,
I did one
the other day, which was a reel, wearing my new Gymshark outfit. And I was talking about the bullshit behind love handles.
Yeah.
And that was my just... Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
I'm still very transparent. I'm just wearing something that I love to wear.
Yeah.
And I'm sponsored by the brand.
That's why, like, Paul Lima does ads, right? So, and I said this
to him. He's the king of ads, isn't he?
Him and Harry. I'm like, you know what? You two are the only people I'd buy off online.
Yeah.
You know? Because I actually trust what they say. Yeah. And, like, there was one with, like, a Walker's ad, a Lima did. I've been buying those Walker's crisps
every time.
Yeah, you know, like the ones that are like fried lower or something. I'm like, bro, these are nice. You know, I'll try these.
I think there's another guy. Is it Sam Thompson? From Main Chelsea, he's quite good at them as well. I think he's doing the Walker's one. He's funny, mate.
Yeah,
funny guy.
He does
them
in like a really funny way.
Him and his missus is so funny.
Oh, his missus from Love Island.
Yeah.
I DM'd her once.
Did you?
I was like, hey, listen.
How'd that go?
I was like, I got blanked. But no, I didn't DM her like that. I DM'd her like she posted this mad workout. It was so bad. And she was getting hate. I messaged, I said, yo, heads up, if you need help with this sort of stuff, send it to me.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. I don't need anything from you. I don't need you to pay me or some shit. But I'll let you know, innit? Ignored it, probably didn't see it. Need that blue tick, innit? But like I was like, cool, I did my job, but it wasn't coming from a place of like trying to at her. Because I think a lot of the time, like, she's probably, like, trying to inspire women that's following her to do a workout.
Mm.
But the form was so bad.
Yeah, it could be more detrimental.
Exactly. And she don't know that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? But you can tell when someone has good intentions.
Yeah.
Compared to someone that doesn't. Hence why I sent a DM. Do you know what I mean? So, but yeah.
Well, I had that actually, didn't I? With that girl with her, getting her appendix removed. Basically, this personal trainer.
Bring up the appendix story.
No, don't bring that up again. I was sent this girl's post, and she put something on a story, being like, "I had my appendix removed 2 or 3 days ago. I've put on 3 kilograms, so I'm going to eat 1,000 calories." And she's a PT, so I was like, "You're going to have people who follow you who think that's correct." So I just dropped her a really pleasant DM, just being like, "Look, hey, you've just had surgery. Give yourself a break. You're full of like gases. You've literally that's why you've put on 3 kilograms." please don't eat 1,000 calories just because you've had your appendix removed. And she was like, oh my God, yeah, I didn't even think about it like that. Like, people follow me, I'll repost it in a different way.
Yeah.
That was a good deed for me. That wasn't me being like a prick. That was me saying, look, I think what you said might semi-hurt
but
people who follow you.
You know what? That's risky for you because I'm not going to lie, some of the comments I hear girls make to other girls.
Girls are the
nothing,
worst.
Nothing like the boys, you know? No. Nothing like the boys. I think the boys are way more like... But I had a DM yesterday from a geezer, a little bit negative. So I sent him a voice note saying, like, what the fuck's your problem, bro? Like, I did this for this reason. What are you trying to say? He was like, oh, fair play, bro. Cool. Done.
Yeah.
Cool. I said, good. No. All good, bro. Have a good day. But what I've realized with some of, like, I've seen, like, comments on some people's posts. And I'm like, raw. Whatever happened to, like, yes, girl power, empowering each other. It's like the polar opposite. Yeah.
Did you see the ones, because I was speaking to James about it, because I got trolled on his post about the ab workout and talking about the ab workout, and I got trolled so heavily on his IGT on his post that this.
What did you
specific,
say on the? Was it the one we were in Australia?
About,
innit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one about abs, genetics. And he said about genetics.
What
and
did
I
you
put,
say?
I put yes, genetics. Thank you for saying this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, I fucking have had a six pack since I was four.
Yeah, yeah. You're genetically lean.
Genetically very fucking lean.
Yeah.
I got trolled so heavily. I actually took time off Instagram because this one specific girl was trolling me so hard. I was like, she literally brought me to tears. Every time I blocked her, she'd create a new account every day for 2 or 3 weeks.
What, inboxing you?
Inboxing me.
Why are you looking at
it,
though?
But I went off Instagram. I went off Instagram for like...
Why? Just don't worry about her, man. It means you're winning. You're winning. That's why.
I
you
know.
Gotta like... Because the
I
minute...
Know.
You gotta like... But from experience... That happens again. Just ignore it. I've realized...
Oh, yeah, I would be able to now.
Yeah, before I've realized I've done this mistake where I've responded to someone that's really hateful, whatever it is. I'm like... Now, you know what? I'm going to preserve my energy. I don't need to give energy
that's
to...
That's a very hard skill to pick
it's
up.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But...
Because you're intrigued by those things sometimes, little negatives and just something... You,
you
go
are.
Into it and then you're in
you
it.
You
want to
say
a skill
that
like you want to like...
Exactly. Exactly.
Pick up as you go.
You like, can flip it. You can flip it. But you can even be like... Not be nice about it, but you can even ask them, like, why? Or like, banter them about it and then just... Then completely ignore. Because you kind of need to... If you don't block that out, that's been so detrimental to the energy that you save to do what you do.
Yeah,
to
massively.
Help. If you think about the percentages of positive comments that you get compared to the negatives, it's not even a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
for
what
sure.
I mean?
It's like the every few. But you know what I found? Like, if I'm having quite a bad day, because I have anxiety, if I wake up and I'm pretty anxious and I see one negative comment on an anxious day, that'll... do something to me internally. If I'm having a positive, optimistic day, I'll be like, hey Karen, have a great day. It's so focused on like your mindset. Like if you're not in the right headspace, I think it's quite hard for me to, like for me personally, to ignore it.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling great, I can just delete or I can just ignore.
You know what you need to do, yeah, when you wake up feeling anxious?
Meditate.
Not touch your phone.
Oh,
just have a day of like whatever.
Mm.
Honestly, it's so much. What I've realized is like holding fire and just being like, you know what? Whatever. Mm. Whatever. What am I going to lose today? What, a few sign-ups? A few, whatever, man. It's not going to... But tomorrow I'll come back stronger in the afternoon. I'll go for a walk. I'll go train on my own without the cameras, without this. Mm. You know? And I feel like that's... Trying to learn that skill has been... Because initially when I was first started posting on socials, mate, at one point I was doing like 3 posts a day. Posting 3 times a day, twice a day, posting for all this shit. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to save the energy to do something that's going to give more value, you know? And I've realized that, honestly, I feel so much better at that. It's hard. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, you know what? Put it down. And then you might see him doing it and you're like, fuck, I feel like I should. Mm. But then you know what? You don't, because fuck him. Sorry, bro. But like, you need to do you. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I've realized that. And me and Smith do that so much better. Before, like, me and Smith are competitive in like a healthy way, you know, nothing malicious, but we're both competitive when we do content, when we do this, when we do that. But now we're so much more thing like chilled about it. I'm not feeling it for it today. I'm not gonna do content, bruv. Whatever. What are you doing? Oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, you know what? Cool. You should do this and maybe add this to it as well. That would be sick, and that makes me happier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've realized after doing that, my brain is like so much more relaxed, like so much.
Yeah, I do need to do that. I know I do.
You
I
need
just
to do
it.
I know you need to do
it.
That's
you
why
know.
I'm telling
yeah.
you, because I can tell. I know it, because you're obviously like your competitor from the way you train and the way you hustle and the way you do. Same as you, bro. Hence why, like, sometimes just not doing nothing is. That's why I was like, have a fucking day off with the training this morning. You know, that's why I said that, because in hindsight, I don't think it added anything to your day.
I would argue otherwise, but
we're just,
but that's
why
we're going to disagree on shit.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, it's like me telling you to stop doing something that you love doing. Or
Or
like, for example, when people go on holidays, they'll take a book with them.
Yeah.
Am I going to train or do a run or
do
whatever? It's hard to say, like, don't do something that you love doing.
But try it.
But I don't enjoy it. Because
but have you tried it?
Yeah, because I take 2 days off a week. It's not like I'm going every single day. Do you know what I mean? I'm sticking to Monday to whatever, I'm doing my shit.
No, but have you done like... You've done a day off. You're doing an activity that doesn't like evolve around anything that we do. I love work so much.
That's what I mean. I don't see it as work though. Like it's not like work to me. Like going to the gym. Like my endorphins released. I feel good from it.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're often too much the other way. We tell people to take a day off. No fucking hell. Just go and do something. Sometimes like it depends where you're coming from or how I suppose.
I'm going to give you 2 years, blood.
How
are we going to have this conversation again? And
I definitely will.
100%. I know it's going to happen.
I've been weight training for like 15 years. And like,
no, wait,
nothing,
I think,
whoa, let me finish. Nothing makes me feel better. Like, I can be stressed. Like, something really bad in my life can happen. If right. I can have that hour in my life where I just switch off and I go in. And
can I ask you something? Can I ask you something? What makes you feel good that you feel like you have to weight train every single day? Why do you have to do that?
Because when I walk out, I just feel good.
But why wouldn't you feel good anyway?
Because there's nothing like gets me endorphins. At least I'm sweating. And I've got like, I've done something hard in that day. Nothing's going to be hard in that day. And doing that, I feel good from
doing it. I'm saying is like, do you ever feel like you had to be a type of way? Which is why you train maybe. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think like why I probably started going to the gym was different to why I go now. I wanted to change composition when I was back then. Now, like I can understand one workout. It's going to change nothing. I'm not going to lose any weight. I'm not going to build any muscle tissue.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. I could have missed today quite easily. Not to do with my body because I'm confident in the way that I look now. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I go for different reasons now. Completely different reasons.
Okay. 2 years later, yeah?
No, I think my point was when you said about that, like putting your phone away and going off and doing something you don't usually do, didn't you mean like going off and doing like an activity like you went shooting? We went shooting the other week.
Yeah, no, I mean like chill. But
yeah,
like
going
that.
Off and we did
not
that
like an activity
week.
Like.
Not like going to the gym. I think Dira meant like go
no,
off and go.
No, we had about the conversation we had this morning though.
No, but you before meant when you go off and just do something for you.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. That's like, I don't know, like.
Like you two loved shooting. You went off and did an activity.
Yeah, but.
You'd love
like,
East
me,
London.
Me and Kyle can go and do shooting. An hour in the morning going to the gym doesn't change that.
No, I know, I get that. I was just trying to piece together like a separate activity that isn't anything to do with anything. Like you could go sailing.
Like, as in basically nothing to do with anything that you do. Nothing. Mm. And I'm telling you that. And the only reason I'm saying this is because I was thinking exactly like you. I feel like that about jiu-jitsu, right? But what I've realized is when I do go back now, you know what? I'm not going to the gym. Because I'm not progressively overloading. I'm just creating fatigue. And when I create fatigue, my mental state isn't in a good place. Because then when I go into the gym the next day, I can't progressively overload on my heavy day. Therefore, I'm getting less results. I'm more stressed. Looking in the mirror thinking, why the fuck am I not getting more gains? You know why? Because I didn't chill the fuck out when I was supposed to maximize my session that day and possibly work on my mental health. Because the gym, yeah, I get that. And a lot of guys say this to me as well, yeah. And I'm like, cool, I get you, bro. But you know what? Sometimes when I used to go to the gym every day or even, I'm like, am I going because I feel like I have to go? Or am I going? Am I forcing it? Why am I going? Am I enjoying, like, if you had a shit session today, did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
You enjoyed the session? But was it like a fuck yes? Or was it like, eh? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
But how would you have felt otherwise, like if you didn't go?
She doesn't know.
Yeah,
she doesn't know.
But that's the thing that you're talking about, taking rest days and progressive overload. Those rest days are already programmed for me. They're already in the schedule. They're already in
there.
It's not like an extra day on top. I think that's the other thing. I'm on one.
He's being defensive about this. I like it. Which is why he needs to have that day off. Which is exactly why I'm saying it. Because I like, in podcasts, I like doing these debates. Because a lot of people are like, yeah, you're right. I don't fucking agree. Do you know what I mean?
I forgot what we were saying now.
You were just talking.
Hold on.
Like
close your eyes for 10 minutes, innit? Drop down, give me 10.
We do get into that pattern where people do become obsessive with shit, and that's where then it takes away, and there is a negative element because people can't drop it. We spoke about this on the podcast last week when it comes to fitness trackers, tracking food. People get so consumed by stuff that it doesn't therefore become a benefit anymore, becomes a hindrance. Yes. And I think whenever it's becoming like that, then you do need to potentially drop it because it's not doing you any good anymore.
Yeah.
I just think the most important thing is that you're enjoying it for yourself. Like I take a rest day all day Thursday.
I fucking love this.
All day Sunday.
What my point is, you're enjoying it for yourself, right?
Mm.
But is it the perception that you've created for yourself that you initially forced yourself to enjoy that? Therefore, which is why I'm saying, like, if you sometimes peel back those layers, right? And this is why I was like talking about the ego, because we create this image of ourselves, hence why we say certain things a way that we think people know us for. Therefore, I'm saying it like this. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm.
Hence, when you peel that back a little bit and sometimes take some time off, even when you think you shouldn't, you get into a space where you realize certain things and like, you know what? You start questioning things. Hence why when we're so busy, like, you have your days off with training, I get that. But like today, you guys are in London for 2-3 days, right? You got a busy 2-3 days, I'm assuming. App stuff, I'm assuming this, that, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So like when you sometimes peel back those bits where you would usually do when you're at home in your routine, you sometimes come to realize like, oh shit, I didn't need that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't train or whatever. Do what the fuck you want, bruv. But what I'm saying is, we always think we need to do something because we've kind of made ourselves think that we need to do that initially. The question is, do you really enjoy doing that though? Have you tried anything else? Try it. Try peeling that back a little bit. See if you respond better, if you enjoy it even more. That's the questions that I was asking myself when I was like, do I like online PT? Questioning. That's why I was like, you know what? This is giving me mad clarity when I took some time off that. And then I'm like so much more confident with why I'm doing this or whatever I'm doing or why I'm training, why I love jiu-jitsu and all that stuff. And even I've realized that sometimes peeling back from jiu-jitsu, this week I did 3 sessions and every session I went to was so much better than me training 6 days a week because I overload this, overload work, overload this, stress. At what point do you ever remember yourself in the last 24 hours where you just chilled? What point? Maybe when you're watching TV, but even when you're watching TV, you're scrolling through your phone. So my thing is when people question themselves, and the reason I like forcing people to be like, do you like that though? Like, or did you kind of create that? Did someone tell you to do it? Whatever it is, or did you actually just do nothing for 10 minutes? Were you actually here? Like, was your mind somewhere else? Mm. Hence why I say these things, because I know you and me as well, with what you love what you do. I love what I do as well. But it's non-stop. And you realize when you're on your phone, scrolling, oh, this idea, this is good. I can make content about this. Oh, email about this topic. Oh, it never fucking stops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you're like even chilling, watching Netflix, I don't think you are because your mind's elsewhere. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's what I was trying to, maybe I didn't elaborate myself exactly properly.
No, I get what you
but
mean.
That was like my point of all of that, because I know for a fact when you're training, the camera's on, you're recording. Your focus, what maybe is something else, elsewhere, this, that, whatever it is. But I feel like sometimes it's like, you know what, I'm going to go for a walk on my own, drop the headphones, look at the fucking bird and just be like, raw, that's mad.
Do you know what?
Do you know what I mean?
So interested about that though. So I like walking with people. I don't walk on my own. It makes me too anxious. Like I just don't do it from past experience. So I, to release my anxiety and my OCD and to feel okay, I will go to the gym. That for me is where I do zone out. No cameras, just me. I go on my own, headphones, bottle of water, massive t-shirt, hoodie.
Yeah.
And that for me is my sort of therapy. That I've done sport and fitness since I was literally out the womb. Like that is just me and my family. If I didn't do that, I'm not identifying with myself.
Yeah, it's your...
So it's a part of me, if that makes sense. So for me to zone out and feel good and not feel... To get rid of my anxiety, I'll go and hit a session by myself.
Yeah.
Or I will go for a run. Them, for me, I know they work. Going for a walk, I'm fucked. I will be so... Like, I'm not good at walking on my own, am I?
I think that's the thing with what COVID did, though. COVID stopped people doing a lot of things that they would usually do and really have to think about, does this make me happy? Does this make me unhappy? And I know for us in that 2 weeks where we like had COVID and we didn't train for like 2 or 3 weeks, obviously there's other factors that were making you feel like shit. You've
of
got
course,
a virus
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel, I needed that part back in my life.
Of course.
It almost just like segregates certain parts where I can be alone. And the best workouts I have are when the cameras aren't on, we aren't shooting shit, I can just fucking bag something on, get a sweat on, feel good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they're obviously way better because you're doing shit for yourself instead of for someone else.
Exactly.
And when you're selfish, that's when you get a lot more so you can be selfless.
I hate filming Instagram workouts sometimes. I do it. It's part of my job.
Cut this bit, Cal, because she's fucking killing us here.
No, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But I don't think people realise how distracting it can be to your session. People don't like your setup, you're filming, your cameras, Cal's there filming. And sometimes it causes more stress for that session.
That's why I'm like talking about it so much, especially with you two, because I know you lot hustle hard. I know you hustle. It's non-stop. I see it.
Mm.
Hence why you don't like walking on your own, yeah? Be in a safe place, safe area, you know, do it on your own. Be vulnerable.
Mm.
Honestly, I feel like that sort of stuff just, it helps you so much more. Like, I've been being more vulnerable with certain things and I'm like, right, okay, that's something I need to fucking work on. And since I've been doing that, everything else has been more like on it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. That's why I was being like, just fucking take it back.
With that, with that thing, because obviously what we're basically doing is we're hustling and working because we want more financial freedom. We want to be happier. Yeah. The whole point is we want to be happier. I started doing something last year. I spoke to people on the podcast about this before. It's called the unscheduled sheet.
Okay.
Which is, it's kind of like what you're talking about. Like, instead of putting all those things in a diary, like you usually, like, got this, and this need to prioritize. What the unscheduled sheet is, does you do everything backwards. So I put in all the shit in my day that I want to do first and then put everything else around it. Because what the whole ethos and the moral around it is that we're always working to be happy. But you can just be happy anyway and then fucking fit working around it. And you're still as productive because you're putting stuff in that slot and you're probably more hyper-focused and you work better because you are happy anyway.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I mean. And talking more about this, looking at people, like really successful people that do a lot of this stuff that I'm kind of getting more into, talking to them, hearing and listening to things is like, everything that they say is like, kind of like this is it anyway. Whatever you do, this is it, like, yeah. You're here. Do you know what I mean? You're doing whatever it is that's happening, it's happening right now. Instead of the focus to create the financial freedom, because I'm like that as well. I'm always trying to think next ideas, this, that, blah, 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 all this. But then you realize, like, it's not that important. And since kind of stripping that back, things have been going better. It's mad. It's like you drop the stress element and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll buy a fucking car. Why not? You know what? My bank account's a lot lower. I had to pay a lot of tax. But you know what? Fuck it. Whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm enjoying it. Worst case, it all flops and then I try again. You know? And since I've been thinking like that, because then at the time I was like, I questioned certain things. I'm like, fuck, I should have gone to the gym. I should have filmed a workout. I should have created content this week. I didn't create any speaking content that I do usually this week. I was worrying about house this. And I was like, you know what? Whatever, bruv. I don't even care. Like, I care, but I don't care.
Mm.
And I feel like that's been helping me so. And it's so hard to get into that mindset. It's so hard. But like, and the only reason I think it's important for people like us is because we're such polar opposite. You're so motivated. You got so much drive. Which, by the way, if you're the polar opposite to having drive, then don't be that chilled. Yeah. Do something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's just that finding that balance. And then once you do, I think you realize, like, when you're on your phone for that hour, you're so much more efficient. Instead of doing dumb shit. Do you know what I mean?
It's that, I think the stat is as well that, I can't remember what they proved, I think it was 70 or 75, like after 70 or 75K a year, they found like people's happiness wasn't really that much more. And that's why I think when we look at this stuff and why we do it, it's way more than financially driven.
It's 80K,
why, why that drive is there, exactly.
Is that the number?
It's 80K, yeah. And that's no different.
And
no,
even when you go...
any better.
No.
In regard to happiness, 60.
Is it 60?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think it was $80,000 then, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, probably right, yeah. Probably would have been done on dollars if research was all done over there. But that's why there needs to be something a lot more than that at the end of the finish line of what you're looking at. Because once you're past that point, and we know now there's no happiness past that. Well, there's obviously happiness past it, but like, even if you just keep being financially driven, it's not going to make us any happier. So there needs to be something more there for it to continue to do that. And we've just had this conversation this week when we were looking at houses and cars and stuff, and like, you worried about money and whatever. Like, obviously it's difficult to start, but when like we're in this position now, like, money's gonna come and go all the time.
And you know what? You realize you spend the money and then you're like, why did I think so long about spending that?
Yeah,
that's what happened. 100%. And I was speaking to, like, for example, I'm bringing up the car again. I know it's a bit annoying, but it was a big thing. I never had a car.
It's good because we've been talking about this week as well.
Younger Diren wanted a sports car. I'm 29. And maybe when I'm 30, 31, maybe I want kids. I don't know. But like, younger Diren always wanted a sports car. And I've been hustling so hard for so long. I've never really enjoyed it as much. Yeah. So I bought myself a nice bag. I bought myself a nice watch. I bought myself a nice car. I thought, fuck it, bro.
What car did you get? I'm really interested in cars.
Mercedes AMG C-Class, $2.
But the thing is, nice. you're happy without that as well anyway, so you weren't reliant on that. So that you didn't need to buy it to make you happy. My auntie said the same thing to me this week. She said, because I was contemplating about buying a car this year, and she's like, you want it. You can afford it. Just fucking buy it. Don't worry about it. Like, you're only like this point in your life once. Just fucking do it.
That's exactly what happened. And you know what made me happier was like, I took it to my family house and I gave it to my dad to drive. My dad was, and that made me
so happy. But he was so proud of you as well, though.
Yeah, and it was mad because my sister was like, let me look at the mileage. I'm like, why? She goes, well, we've never had a new car before. Oh. I've never seen a low mileage. And I was like, oh my days, that's crazy. Our family's never had a brand new car. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, rah, this is a cool feeling. And then like talking about that, I spoke to Kayla Zinez, right? She's the biggest fitness, like she's
ever. Yeah.
Ever. She's like the biggest, right? And I was talking to her about this stuff and she was saying the exact same thing. What's mad is I thought I wouldn't like her. I met her. She's the nicest fucking person.
She's American.
No, she's Australian.
Aussie, sorry. Yeah,
she's Australian. She's Australian. The banter level I have with her is mad. And I did not know she had it in her. And we were talking about money stuff with her, like with what you do and stuff. I was like, and these are big dogs in the industry. We're talking millions and millions and millions, like with like hundreds of thousands of clients, right? And I was like, I was like, boss lady, how much you pay yourself from your business? She told me, she was like, Darren, it's no different to that. And I was like, you know why it's no different? She comes home to her daughter, mum and dad, you know? She's in her house. The only difference is she's got a nice house, nice car, but everything else is exactly the same. She lives in Adelaide, bruv. Adelaide is the deadest place in Australia. She just loves her family and does it from there. Do you know what I mean? She's telling me stories with The Rock on the phone with her.
That's fucking mad, isn't it?
And I'm thinking it's mad that she doesn't even give a fuck. And it's, that's not happiness to her. And there is no happiness when people chase money. You got to chase what you love and share it with people that you love. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing more fulfilling than being able to buy your family and friends dinner, you know, talking to your friends on not what you got, but how you got it. You know what I mean? And I think people get a lot of things misjudged, hence why I was really hesitant about sharing the car on my story at first. But the response was mad. The people were like, oh my God, Darren, I'm so happy for you. I've been following you since you were in Bali when you had like 8,000 followers. And I'm like, oh, this is sick. I was so excited. It was so fucking cool. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice when you get that feedback though, I suppose, because you have a lot of people who you'll take along on a journey for a long time and will just be watching every move that you're making. You don't even realize that. And they'll pop up one day and be like, I've been following you to this point and seeing this journey that you've made to this point. And I think that it's good that those people are there, because it's so nice to have that support from day one to kind of day dot of where you're up to now as well. And it really highlights where you've come from and been to.
It's mad, especially with like, you would have moments, right? When you're maybe in Lanzarote, wherever you are, right? Wherever your next trip is, you'll sit there, no cameras, nothing, and you got a glass of wine or something.
I had so many of those.
Yeah, but good. I'm glad you did, you know? I'm glad
honestly,
you did.
I was so happy there.
But you know what? You know when you took that sip, right? When work was done for the day, a bit of sunlight, and you sit there with Ben and you're like, life is good, you know. You're like, nothing really matters other than this moment. How nice is that feeling? Yeah. And I feel like we get so lost, we lose that when we're in this hustle so much. Hence why I'm trying to tap into that more often when I am in my routine. Do you know what I mean? And me and Smith have these moments all the time off camera. Me and Smith were sharing a bed in Bali. We shared a room in hostels in Bali when we were just trying to do stuff online. And then the last tour, we were in Australia being driven to a show from a 5-star fucking hotel to talk in front of over 1,000 people. And after the show, we're sitting there, we're like, this is mad, bro. This is like, you're having a drink and you're like, do you just understand what happened? I'm like, no. Do you? It's mental, you know? And yeah, it's those moments, hence why trying to be present at that moment of time is like the best fucking thing. It's like enjoying this conversation. This is sick, bro. You're never
That's why I closed my laptop, because I had notes and we fucked it
exactly
off.
And that's what podcast should be anyway, instead of like, oh, sorry, tell me a bit about yourself. Fuck off, bro. But yeah, man, it's good. Life is good, bro. It is good.
But I think a lot of people, I know it's been a shit time, a lot of people have prospered through COVID from just switching on, dialing into other shit that they maybe been uncomfortable that they had to get out of a certain place and go and do. I know for some people it's been a good thing. I know for some people it's been a terrible thing, obviously. Yeah. And you can't let that dampen your light of whatever you've been doing in this time period. And you've obviously done a lot of shit over this time period as well, which is great. You've been to the country doing speaking.
Yeah.
You've got your own tours and shit coming up.
Yeah.
So you can probably look back at this period and it's potentially been one of the more successful periods.
Yeah,
and that's just because we just carried on doing our shit. And obviously I would never say that we've been lucky, because I feel like we've created that space to put ourselves into to be able to still work during these times? Exact same for you, mate.
Yeah, brother. And you know what? For the people that they didn't have a great time in the last year, you know what? It had to happen for you to understand to make that next move.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you get growth. And that's where you start putting things together and start thinking. If you're not thinking or questioning, then what the fuck are you doing? Are you just walking around like a penguin? Do something. You know what I mean? Stop following the penguin in front. Do something. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's like the most important lesson people should. Because when lockdown hit, I was like, nah, I'm not chilling. I'm like, this is the perfect time when everyone's a fucking sleep, bruv. I'm going in. And you can do that every day. You know what I mean? Whether it's waking up early, whatever the fuck you want to do. Do you know what I mean? But yeah.
And that's a good point to end it. Don't be a pingu.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a cheers.
We're doing the cheers. We'll do one with a proper drink after.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have a Guinness.
Do you drink Guinness?
Yeah, we'll have one in anyway.
Guinness and Ribena.
Like, is that like the really dark one?
Yeah.
With the white froth. I'm a red wine drinker.
Yeah, you'll have one, innit? You'll have one after this.
Yeah. Really for a
but
red
first,
wine?
Some candy can get her.
But where can people find more of you anyway? Dirty D.
Bruv, you know where to find me. No, I'm joking.
Dirty D. Let's just leave the Dirty D.
I've always said to him since day one. I'm going to change it now.
Hey, me and him, when we're out, don't worry about us, innit? Don't worry about...
Dirty D.
Don't worry about Benjamin. I'm not going to finish that sentence. No, I'm joking. Just Dirham Cartel on Instagram, website, YouTube, whatever. You'll see my fat smile in it. You'll see the fat smile thing. And appreciate you guys for having me on. This was fun.
Appreciate it, mate.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for your time. It has been a banging ep. As always, we appreciate the reviews, the feedback, the shares on story. Don't forget to tag me, Lucy and Dirham, in stories, because we will try and get back to them all and carry on pinging those reviews into Apple Podcasts. If you're watching on the YouTube channel as well, please leave a comment or any questions. We will get back to them all. And apart from that, I hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
See ya.